Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Today we have Paul Johnson, CEO of Power Metal Resources, which invests in large-scale metal discoveries across the globe. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine, Rob. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. It's been a while. So I think to kick this off, I'm gonna ask you a few questions more about yourself in a way. You've talked in the past about your private investing experience and the factors you look in for investing opportunities. So what are your top, let's say, four things you consider important?
There's so many different elements to investing and making sure you make the right decision. I think probably finance is absolutely key. If you're looking at certainly junior resource companies, which I tend to look at, I've always been in this kind of marketplace for the last 10 or so years. Everyone knows management teams are vital, and the composition of the team and how it behaves. Communications, my favourite subject of all, has to be right up there in terms of talking about, you know, what you're doing as a business, especially on the public markets where you're trying to attract capital from a competitive pool, effectively. Although it might seem, last is not least, you know, the actual project portfolio of the companies that you're investing in has to be a significant factor in your investment decision.
Okay, and I mean, obviously, given the nature of Power Metal Resources, do you still apply those criteria to your investments and projects?
Yeah, I think we definitely do, because there are so many similarities between, you know, investing as a private investor, looking at stocks to pick, and actually a public company, in our case, Power Metal Resources, which does some investment, but mainly is focused on projects. Activities and picking and choosing your projects, it does follow the same lines. So, you know, you're looking at who's behind the project, which is, I guess, management or corporate people behind it. You're looking at what's their cash requirements as a project to take it forward to the next stage. You know, is it a good story that you can actually communicate about? And, you know, what's the ultimate discovery potential? Is it district scale? Is it high value focused and all those kind of things? So yeah, it definitely runs through. In fact, I'd say probably my private investing time was the training ground for me leading into my public company experience.
Okay. And I mean, looking at finance, you've recently raised just over £1 million. What would you say is the key financial factors investors should question when looking at a junior resource company?
It's funny, isn't it? It just rolls off the tongue, £1 million. Can you imagine if you had it piled in cash in the corner of the room? It doesn't seem like much on paper, but when you actually think about it, it's a huge amount of money. And you know, we were fortunate because we raised that very efficiently over the weekend. I think when perhaps misunderstood by many investors who come into the market early doors, that I included myself in that because it took me many years to work this out. The financial strength of a company is so vital. And that's twofold. That's one is what's the underlying financial strength at the moment you invest. And also, secondly, can they access capital? You've got to remember, I suppose, that the main reason why companies list on any financial market is to access capital. Now, there are other reasons, like, you know, to demonstrate the value of their project package, their business, and so on. But fundamentally, for junior resource companies, they're there because they can raise money. Now, I would argue that, and we'll come on to this probably quite soon, I guess, but I would argue that it's the management's approach to financing that is absolutely critical. If they are defensive of shareholders, they don't raise at big discounts, whatever the excuse they put forward. They show that they've got good connections in the city or with investors, and they can access that capital when they need it. That's the number one thing. And you can see that by going back over their announcements when they've raised in companies in times past and see, you know, did they raise at the market? Did they raise at a big discount? Did they, you know, was there rationale? Did they explain what the money was for? And that kind of thing. So a bit of research actually into when you look at an investment proposition, you get very excited about it. Go and have a look at the historic financial raise announcements and see how they handled it. And that will give you a good steer. If it was poor, if it was unexplained, if it was heavy discounts, I would say many cases you have to question, do you really want to be in a stock?
Okay, so you're saying management's important. What other factors can people, just the general investors, look at with the management team?
Yeah, their management and finance do link quite closely, but there's so many different elements with regard to management. You obviously want a reasonably skilled management team. I've been discussing with someone recently that I think the best managers for junior resource companies will come out of the private investor base. Those that actually buy into these shares, who live and breathe them on a daily basis, understand the positives and the negatives, are probably the best pool that you can source from with regard to building management teams in public companies. Now, you do need people with good experience. You need to see a board with a good broad range of skill sets, perhaps a board and senior management team, not just the board itself. but it's also about the passion. We are in the junior resource space, therefore it's an entrepreneurial space. It's where you need to see in the investor base a passion and an excitement. Otherwise, why bother investing? For management, you need to see that they are aligned with their shareholders, which means do they own stock? The wonderful, simple thing of how do they own stock? Ask them how they got that stock. Did they swap some nice big fee invoice for shares, or did they put their own cash in? Because I tell you what, when you put your own money in, it makes you think. I recently converted £100,000 worth of warrants in August, and I had to send four lots of £25,000 into the company's bank account with Power Metal. And if everyone that went over, you get a little bit of a goodbye, a twinge when that money leaves your bank account and goes somewhere else. And that aligns you wonderfully well if you put your own cash into the business. So it's management that are entrepreneurial of mind, and they're not just going after salary, but prepared to invest in their own propositions. And you want to see energy, actually. Because when you start, we are startups in the junior resource space. And when you're starting something up, you need the drive and the energy to make it work. So, you know, vibrancy and energy and how they, run their business is very important too.
Okay, yeah, I definitely wouldn't disagree at all with any management team that wants to put their own money in. It's certainly a key indicator that they want the share price to do something. Right. Brilliant. You mentioned communication earlier. Is it that important? I mean, shouldn't you just concentrate on finding things and then focusing on talking about what you found?
The answer to that is yes, you should, if we were in a perfect world. But you wouldn't get many shareholders buying your shares. You'd be the quietest stock in town. You'd be off radar, so you could find whatever you wanted, and it would be one heck of a battle to get anyone's attention on it, unless you found a dramatic major discovery, in which case, eventually, the interest would come in. I think marketing communications is important, even if you believe you have the potential to find major discoveries. I think it's how you do it, the way you try to inform the shareholder base. And, I've seen a lot, some of the stuff that's been coming out of Kavango recently with, pictures from the field and explanation as to what's being found attached to an RNS is a great example of how to do it. And it's such a vital part of our business. It's a bit, if you don't do it, it's a bit like producing, the best theatre show that's ever been made, putting it on stage, but not telling anyone about it. And you might get a few friends and family in the audience, but you're not going to get much more. And it will be a flop commercially. So I think it's about balance and making sure you do communicate innovatively in an informative manner and try and build awareness and build the know-how as you go. But don't over-focus on it. Don't over-ramp your shares, because ultimately the investors are right. You need to make discoveries and make big value crystallization events.
Great. All right. Lastly, then, it's a two-parter question. Isn't the project portfolio the be-all and end-all? And also, for investors who aren't from a geological background, how do they properly assess projects?
Yeah, you'll get different perspectives on this, in fairness. Some people will tell you that great management can sell anything. And then some people will tell you that you actually don't need great management. If you've got a great project, it sells itself. I think there is an importance of looking at a project portfolio in these companies. As I said before, the odds of finding a major discovery are very, very low. So if you have some degree of diversification in the project portfolio, it can be a good thing. If you find something and you have a single project and all the business is focused entirely on that project, I think it's important for investors to switch on and realize how much risk there is in that. You know, if you fail to renew a license on time, you have a problem geopolitically, locally. Something goes wrong. The commodity falls out of favor. There's some technical work that doesn't go in your favor. You know, you think there's going to be X million ounces and there turns out to be only a few hundred thousand. You know, it's all these factors come into play. So I think diversification in the portfolio that you're investing in, from my perspective anyway, is quite important. I want to see the projects worked. I don't want to see an A project and then a B and four Ds. I want to see everything have some attention and focus over, say, a typical 6 to 9 month period, so nothing is left stagnant, and that's quite important. So I do look for broad spectrum activity. I know a lot of people would disagree with me on that, though. Then when you look at the projects themselves, how can you properly assess them? Well, many of us invest in big companies, like bank shares, or funds that invest in big companies. And we don't really understand how they work. And we just happily go ahead and do it. I think there's a natural instinct to try and find out more as an investor when it's something like junior resources, or say it's biotech, or it's the cannabis stocks, or blockchain stocks and that kind of thing, crypto. We want to know more. We're eager. And that's quite important. And that links into what we said before about go after those companies that properly explain what they're doing. Because it's an absolute guarantee that if you follow the companies that explain what they're doing, make an effort, it's quite easy to hide an underperforming project in technical speak. But if you're forced to explain in simple terms what each project is trying to achieve and what the results are, so that the layman, as it were, can understand what you're on about, that's when it gets difficult if your projects are not performing. So I would always look for simplicity in message. And it's all there around now. A few years ago, about 10 years ago, it was all about the bulletin boards. Then Twitter kicked in, in the last 10 years. And now there's Telegram groups, all sorts of social media ways in which you can find out more about stocks and shares. So the information is definitely out there. And a good company will have some good information on their website to explain the project, and will be developing tools to help articulate their proposition. So that is something that we particularly focused on at Power with Mita, our investor relations manager, who's going great guns working with the other members of the team to really pull out some quality information.
Okay, and you mentioned sort of Telegram and social media. You're one of the few people that puts a mobile number on the RNS.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, isn't it? And people ring me on it as well. I mean, it's probably a bit easier if you send me a text or a message, I think they call them now, don't they? And then I can kind of go out for a walk and give you a call back. But if anyone wants to get in touch, they must do. There might come a time, I expect there probably will, when, the size and scale of this company grows so much that time for that type of conversation is limited. But I'm going to fight as long as I can to make sure I can speak to individual investors. Maybe I can do that, continuously in this business, and that would be nice, because the people who are prepared to pick up the phone, really give you some good feedback. I remember myself starting out as an investor, and ringing a couple of the directors up, and it felt like a ghastly experience, and I was quite nervous. And, uh, You know, I've always thought, well, maybe investors are thinking that they don't want to pick up the phone, they don't want to disturb you. But I would definitely, if you have a question or query, you're thinking of investing some money, you've got some money in there and you want some extra kind of, not inside information, because I can never give that out, but extra kind of discussion about a particular topic, then yeah, pick up the phone and give me a call.
Brilliant. Well, I've got to say thanks for doing the same for me today and having a good catch up. It's been great hearing from you, Paul, and I'm sure we'll hear some more from you in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.